What's up, y'all, and welcome back to the Woman segment. We're back with another episode of our What Happened to You series, and we got a new guest here with us, and it is my friend Mimi. She is joining us today. So we about to just go ahead and jump right into it. All right, how should we pop this thing off?
So let introduce yourself first and drop your socials and all of that stuff.
Can they see me?
Yeah.
Oh. Hi, my name is Mimi. My Instagram is underscore MIMIYAKO. My Twitter is the same, and my TikTok is the same, I believe.
Without the underscore.
Without the underscore. You're right.
So go ahead and just tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do on a day to day, and how are you doing?
Okay. I like that question. So, well, I did say my name is Mimi. I would say I am a financial analyst, and I'm also a hairstylist. So that's my 9 to 5. And then after work, I do hair. And I think I'm feeling really good. I would say right now I'm in a good state of mind. I feel very good about where I am in life, and I feel very good about where I'm going.
Okay. Amen. I love that. I love the confidence in that, because it's everything. The confidence will carry.
Thank you. And where do you think you're going?
I feel like I'm going to a lot of different places. Like right now in my career, because I will say it's pretty early. Like when I first graduated college, I graduated in 2020, like during the COVID.
Yeah.
So like my first year out of college, I just went full blown entrepreneur. And that was probably like the best thing that I could have done, simply because when I was in college, I didn't understand, like, how do I put this? I will say, you know how some people say, you'll never become rich working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So like when I was full-blown entrepreneur, I can see why a lot of people go into business, or why a lot of people opt out to working 9 to 5s, or like working for the white man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So when in 2020, I would say 2020, 2021, I was full-blown entrepreneur, and I feel like I reached like a very high income for my age. Like, you know, just graduating college.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, just really life after college, because a lot of people don't talk about life after college. Like, it's like people talk about, you know, college, but they don't talk about how you have to transition from not being a college student to being a full-blown adult. Like, so I would say my first year outside of college, it was really good. Like, you know, financially, I wouldn't say it was really good mentally, simply because being a full-blown entrepreneur, I was the only person on my team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like, I remember I had 1 month where I had like a lot of orders. Like, I did a little sale and I got so many orders to the point where I was like backed up on wigs for like 3 months. And I had so many like clients or like customers who were just like, oh, where's my wig? Where's this? Where's that? Like, they were just like so demanding. And it's like, you know, when people, because it's like my wigs was going for like $500-$600 a pop. So it's like when a lot of money is involved, people are like antsy. They're like rude. They're like, oh, I want my stuff now. I want this. So it was like, it was a little hard. Like, I would say, like, that summer, 2020 summer, like, I literally was working every single day.
Yeah.
But it was, like, what I got out of it, I guess my return was great, but it was, like, mentally and, like, physically on myself, like, it just was a lot. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's what kind of made me transition into my career, because I went to college and I got a degree in finance. And I knew that I was always going to like work in finance or whatever. I've always wanted to be a financial analyst. That's what I'm doing now. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, my life is pretty much flowing in the direction that I would like it to flow into. So after 2021, I realized that like I don't have the bandwidth to be able to deal with so many people or so many, like, I was not even so many people, so many different personalities, I would say. And it's like, I'm working with only women. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, it was just a lot. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm going to transform, go into like my career. I started like, I already knew what I wanted to do. But because I haven't been working for like the past 2 years, I've just been an entrepreneur. It was kind of hard for me to get into my career. Like, I think it took me like 8 months to like find a job, honestly.
Yeah.
It took a really long time for me to find a job. Like, but I would say the process was very humbling, because like, you know, one, I had to go through like the interview process.
Yeah.
I had to learn how to answer questions. I had to learn how to interview. I had to understand what the employers were asking me. So it was like, I would say that process was really what humbled me. I was like, okay, like, you know, I thought it was, I've always thought it was easy to get a job. Like, I'm like, it's easy to get a job. Like, when people are like, I don't have a job, I'm like, why not? Like, why don't you have a job? But it's like, it's easy to get certain jobs. You get what I'm saying? But it's like, I feel like the field I was trying to go into, you really got to know your stuff. Like, you really got to know what you're talking about. Because it's like, they're going to call you a bluff. You know, they're going to be able to know, like, if you really know what you're talking about. Like, yeah, you can get through an interview, but can you do the work? So it was like, you know, when I decided to get into my career, I feel like I like working. No, I don't. I don't like working. But I like being in my career. Like, I like having a consistent income. I like having a routine. I like knowing how much I'm taking home every month. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus when I was full-blown entrepreneur, I don't know what I'm taking home this month. But the pro to that was I'm not taking home the same thing every month. Like, this month, I might take home way more than I did last month. But when you're working 9 to 5, you just got that salary.
Yeah.
You know that's how much you get. Yeah.
There's so many questions that came to my head.
I know.
Oh, did I, when I was talking? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
I talk
a
lot.
Good.
That's what I'm saying. I was going to say, I talk a lot.
I'm just like, what angle do I want to, I want you to.
I guess I want to know, like, should I get into the nitty gritty?
Let's just get into the nitty gritty.
So, like, when you were down that summer in 2020, like mentally and just physically tired, it was demanding. Like, what, how did you get out of it and like mentally get to the point where you were like, what was your day to day like? Like, how did you climb out of that hole?
So, I would say during that time, I was working a lot, but I would hang out with my friends. Mm-hmm. Like, me and my friends, like, we would go out. Sometimes we would have like picnics. Like, that was my favorite. Like, 2020, like the COVID era, it was like, I feel like it gave me the opportunity, not just me and my friends, the opportunity to like get closer with each other. Like, we did more intimate things. Like, sometimes we would have picnics or like we would go for a walk in a park. Like, I like to be around nature. So most of the times we would always go somewhere where it's like a lake or a pond, just sit, talk. So I would say, yeah, it was me hanging out with my friends really that summer. Sometimes my friends would be like, oh my God, you know, just take a break. But it's like, yes, I want to take a break, but I can't because I take a break. Now I have this client or this customer. I keep saying client, customer, like two different things. But I have this customer that's about to be like, oh, she takes forever with my wig. Oh, don't go to her because of this. Like, it's, and it's like, I don't think people understand that it's like, I'm only one person. Like, and sometimes I hate with like the little stigma that they have with like, oh, black entrepreneurs or like black, you know, this, that, and the black businesses. Like, it's like, people be having so much to say about black businesses, but it's like, you cannot compare a black business to Gucci. The owner of Gucci doesn't even know you or your order. Mm-hmm. They have so many people working to do certain things. Like, they be like, oh, if I went to Gucci for, of course you ordered from Gucci and you got your item the next day. Of course, it's so many people that's working for Gucci versus when it's a black business, it's either just them and their family. You know what I mean? So it's like, sometimes, but I do get it. Like, it's not all wrong, but it's like, I just feel like our people don't give us a lot of grace when it comes to certain things. Yeah. It's just like, y'all expect so much from us, but it's like, you don't expect that much from the other people.
Yeah.
Which I just think is just like crazy.
As you were talking, even like at first, I just kept thinking, when you come into that entrepreneurial space, it's like levels to it. And so you might start out on a level where it's like a passion and okay, I'm about to put my passion to action and then I'm making it happen. But then somewhere along the way where you hit a point where you're like, oh my goodness, if I don't scale this, I am going to be stressed out. So I guess I was thinking kind of in my head, like futuristic, if you want to continue in this avenue, because you said you don't necessarily always want to work for the white man and building wealth, how would you see yourself scaling your business to that next level where, you know how we talk about systems, Gucci got a system or such and such has a system where you can put something in place that would help you take your business to the next level, but still offer you that freedom and mental capacity to still feel free.
So I feel like that's what kind of made me get into working. Because it's like, I feel like it's a lot of things I want to do because I don't see myself working for anybody maybe like in the next, 10 years. I don't see myself working for anybody. I just, because there's a lot of things I want to get into. And that's why like sometimes I feel like, as people, we don't appreciate where we're at. We're just always worried about, oh, where we're trying to go. So sometimes I try to appreciate where I'm at in life, you know, because I know that there's a lot of things I want to do. Like I would say for my business, I wouldn't say, I don't see myself per se, doing hair in, like, the next 10 years. Like, actually, okay, physically. Yeah. I don't see myself actually physically. That's what I'm trying to, like, transition into, having a business that I don't have to do any labor. You know what I mean? Because it's, like, with doing hair, I have to physically do hair, or, like, physically make wigs, or, like, physically style. I want to do something where I don't have to do anything. Like, I might just, you know, I package it and I ship it out.
Yeah.
It doesn't, because that doesn't require a lot of stress, you know? And a lot of people don't talk about the stress that comes with being a full-time entrepreneur or just strictly relying on your business. So I would say right now, like, where I am in life, I'm really focused on, like, building my career, because it's a lot of stuff that I want to do within that. And I feel like that is going to help me get to the full-time entrepreneur, like, not working for anybody. Because if we being real, like, you have to use these companies to get to where you want to be.
Exactly.
And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Like, like, some people, like, I know some people who be like, oh, I'll never open a bank account, or I'll never put my money in a bank, or I'll never do this, I'll never work for somebody. And I'm just like, I understand, but these things help you. Like, experience, people don't understand that, like, experience is really what helps you, honestly. So it's like, I get it, but it's just like, you kind of have to, like, you know, you kind of have to use them, honestly.
You gotta
use them to get to where you want to be. Like, you know, like, for an example, I have a mentor, and I've had a mentor since I was 14. So my mentor, I would say she's, like, my biggest role model. Like, literally, like, she's, like, so important to me. She's my biggest role model. Like, I honestly, I don't even know where I would be without her, honestly. I recommend mentoring to a lot of people. Like, I was actually a mentor earlier this year, but I had to take a step back from it because, like, I just felt like work was a lot and I just needed to, like, focus. And I just didn't feel like I was giving her my 100%. Yeah. I just didn't want to, you know, give her half. Yeah. So my mentor, you know, she kind of made me feel like, yes, work for somebody. Like, because that's what she did. She was working for somebody. Now she has her own company. She don't work for nobody. She's a fundraiser, and she raised a lot of funds. Like, and it's just, you know, she's my biggest role model. I would say she helped me with a lot of things in life. Like, she helped me see things differently. She helped me understand that you can be here one day, and then another day you can be somewhere else. But like I said, it comes with experience and time and, like, patience. And, like, you know, just appreciating where you're at currently in life.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, when I think about me getting more into, like, the corporate spaces, I really look at it as, like, a stepping stone, and it building me for what I want to do in my life, because I'm learning professionalism. I'm learning how to operate in spaces that require me to develop the organizational skills. I'm learning how to use certain softwares that are like, oh, this would be actually dope to incorporate one day when I actually want to start and run my own business.
Right.
Like, just utilizing, like you said, what's in front of me and allowing it to develop my character, my patience, me as a professional. And even I pay attention to the leaders in that space. How do they lead? What can they improve on? What do I feel like they should strategically do better? Like, I'm just analyzing everything. And I think that makes all of the difference. Because when we get into situations and we like to, like, nitpick and we complain, but when you can get the lesson out of it, that's when you really start growing. But I guess the question that did just come to me is, what birthed that entrepreneurial spirit within you? Like, what happened in your life that was like, I think I could do this?
That's a really good question. So, honestly, I really feel like it's because I'm Nigerian. I feel like most Nigerians were kind of, like, raised that way, born that way. It's like, majority of Nigerian people I know, that's how they are. But I would say what birthed it for me outside of me being Nigerian is, like, when I was in ninth grade, I was selling waist beads. So I started pretty early, like, and, you know, I grew up in D.C. And I know, like, in PG is more African people in PG. In D.C., it wasn't that many African people. I was probably one of the few Africans in D.C. public school. Me and my sisters. I got four sisters, by the way. It's five of us. Okay. So, yeah, and it's like with that, for me, I was one of the only I would say now, I've noticed more people from high school, like, I'm like, oh, you was African? But it's like, I guess for me, I have an African first and last name. So it's like, it's obvious for people to know that, like, I'm not from here. So I would say I was selling waist beads. And then in high school, I used to do my hair. Well, my sister used to do my hair. And then I used to do my friend's hair. And then I started doing my own hair. Mm-hmm. So I would do my friend's hair. And I would always be like, oh, don't tell nobody I did your hair.
Mm.
I would do my friend's hair. And then when I went to college, I did the same thing.
Don't tell nobody?
Because I didn't want to do hair. Like, I didn't want to do it. Like, I knew that if I started doing it, it was going to be a thing. Mm-hmm. So I would be like, oh, don't tell nobody I did your hair. So, like, when I got to college, I had, like, 3 clients. And I used to charge them, like, $40 to, like, do a sew-in. I would do, like, a sew-in, but I wouldn't style it or nothing. Like, I would just, like, braid their hair down and sew the hair in. But I wouldn't style it. And I'd be like, don't tell nobody I did your hair.
My name is Koji.
And I'm Michelle.
And this is the Japanese America Podcast. So this is where we look at all things Japanese American. We will bring alive the history, culture, and people that make up this diverse community.
In this month's episode, we'll examine Koji's unique family history.
To help bring this story alive, we brought on actor and comedian Derek Mio.
He was reported to be extremely pro-Japanese and anti-American in sentiment. Her husband was taken into custody by the military authorities under a warrant authorized by the Secretary of War.
Who was his enemy of the United States? He was my grandfather on my dad's side. To hear more stories about Japanese America, you can listen to this podcast anywhere you normally download your podcast.
Are your parents entrepreneurial as well?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So yeah, you so kind of like, had that example.
Yeah. So it's like, wait, you made me forget what I was trying to say. Oh, okay, I remember now. So when I was in college, I would do the same thing. And then like this one day, because I don't know, like for some reason, I just had a feeling that I was going to end up doing hair like somehow. But it's like I kept trying to avoid it. So it was this one day one of my former friends, she was trying to make a wig, right? Mind you, like I would do my friend's hair. Like I said, yeah. I would do my friend's hair. And then like they wouldn't tell nobody I did their hair. And then one of my friends was trying to make a wig, and she was really struggling to make the wig. I never made a wig before, by the way, but it's like, I feel like it was the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
Sewing in hair, sewing on a cap. So, like, she was really struggling to make the wig, and I was like, girl, I'll make the wig for you. So I just made her wig, and then, like, I had posted it on Snapchat. And then, like, somebody was like, ooh, can you make my wig? Actually, it wasn't, like, somebody. It was, like, 5 people. 5 people was like, ooh, can you make my wig? And then, like, those 5 people literally bought their hair within, like, the next 2 days. Mm-hmm. So then, like, I had 5 more wigs to post. Now it looked like I make wigs. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I started like making wigs. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, wait, I can do sew-ins. I just don't make wigs. Like I can actually sew in people's hair. So then I started doing hair in college. And that really actually pretty much saved my life, honestly. Like, because if you think about it, college, going to school, some people, like I have friends who worked. And, you know, some people worked at the school. Some people had outside jobs. But it was like, doing hair actually really saved my life. I wouldn't say that I had a passion for it.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you have a talent and you could capitalize off of it, why not do it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would say that's what kind of got me into doing hair. But it's like now I love making like women feel beautiful. Like it's like, you know, when they get their hair done, you give them the mirror. Oh my God, I love my hair. Like that's the reaction I love. Like it's like, you know, at first I may have not cared for it, but it's like, you know, over time it grew on me. And to be honest, like doing hair put me in positions that working for a company never put me in. Like, you know, I'm honestly so grateful for some of the experiences that I got, some of the things that I've seen, like some of the trials and tribulations I went through with just, you know, being a full-time entrepreneur. And that's why I just be like, yeah, I can't work for somebody all my life, because if I could do this by myself, if I can literally achieve and get this amount by myself, like starting young, is a lot more you can get at an older age with more experience and more knowledge.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. That's so good.
I've been an entrepreneur since I was like 8.
Oh, okay.
And
what are we learning? I said I'm learning something new.
my mom, like my whole family pretty much has always been like entrepreneurs. Like we always had like a side hustle. So, like, I definitely understand the trials and tribulations and going corporate or, like, going into more professional settings and working for someone else. I've always had a job. Like, when I started YouthWorks at 14, and then I had an internship at Hopkins. It was just, I always had a job in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was used to having double the money or extra income here and just being busy. Like, I think I was making jewelry, custom beaded jewelry when I was 8. And, like, it was good. Like, it wasn't, like, no little girl jewelry. It was, like, a thing. And, like, people was buying it and just buying it up. Like, I had my, I think I made my first 1,000, like, when I was, like, 9.
So that's right.
It was, like, my godfather always used to tell me, like, you are an entrepreneur. Like, you can get a job. You can try to do this. But you're going to find a way to have a side hustle. And I feel like it's the same for you.
I feel the same way.
Not only because you were raised like that, but because, like, you have to have that. Like that
ambition in you. You got to have that hustle. Like,
yeah. That's what I was going to ask. Do you guys feel like it's either in you or it's nurtured?
No, it's in you. I don't think it was nurtured because...
Yeah, I think it's in you.
Yeah, I don't think... Not for me. Like I said, I feel like how I was raised, it's not like my parents like, oh, you need to have a business. My parents weren't like that. Mm-hmm. I just feel like because of my background and my culture... A lot of us are like that. A lot of us, like, think like that. A lot of us, you know, just, it's just like that, really.
We gonna figure it out.
The hustle got to be in you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. Like, as a Nigerian, we be hustling. Yeah. I know. I don't know if y'all be seeing some stuff or, like, hearing.
We be hustling.
Like, we be hustling. So it's, like, it's normal. Like, you really do definitely got to have the hustle in you. Like, 100%. Like, it got to be in you, not on you. Like, you could tell when it's on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell when it's in somebody.
I don't know. I feel like, I definitely feel like when it's in you, like, you don't have a choice. And most people that have that entrepreneurial spirit don't even want to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've noticed and just asked about. But, like, I feel like it can be nurtured, too. And sometimes when it's nurtured, that makes the best entrepreneurs because they're learning how to be an entrepreneur and there's no pressure behind, oh, I got to do this because this is what my family been doing. Like, it's just, I want to get into something new and try it out. Now, I think that the people that it's in, like, they just have it as spirit. Like, it goes, it's a part of their passion. They just don't have, a knack for it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something, like, you're supposed to do because you have the gift to do it. It's definitely a gift. Mm-hmm. But, like, you don't want to do it.
Yeah, because all transparency, I didn't grow up with the topic of even money. So, like, it never even crossed my mind that, oh, you could work for yourself. That passion was actually recently developed, I want to say college, around my junior year when I really started questioning. And I'm like, okay, take the fun out of it. Who are you and what do you want? And when I started really analyzing what I want, I started realizing a lot of that is freedom. Mm-hmm. And I know in order for me to have freedom, then I'm going to need something to make. I need something to shake financially, and I know that that's not just going to happen in this direction. But I also had, like, passions being birthed. Like, I started a mentorship on campus, and when I started seeing that, I'm like, well, what else can I do? So that wasn't until my junior year of college. But I know as a little girl, I just grew up around, oh, it's not enough money. Money don't grow on trees, da-da-da-da-da. Like, that was never a thought process that, oh, I can do something with my hands. Mm-hmm. So I feel like now I kind of struggle with, okay, let me really, that's why I ask, is it in you? Because I'm like.
Yeah, I get that.
Does that make sense?
It's crazy because I feel like in the Black community, what a lot of us lack is financial literacy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I would feel like white people, their parents kind of teach them. Well, not all, because I don't, you know, not all, but like they teach them certain things. But like Black people, we lack a lot of financial literacy. Like for me, I would say I always kind of had, like, good money management. Mm. That's even, like, what kind of got me into working in finance. Like, when I was a freshman in college, I did this internship, right? I was a bio major, and I went to a job fair because I needed a job for the summer. And it's, like, I was still living in D.C., and, like, D.C. provides, like, the summer youth program where you just got to apply, you know, do the application, come to the job fair, or, like, get a job assignment. But I wanted to actually go to the job fair so I can pick a job that I wanted to work for. And like when I went to the job fair, this lady came up to me. She was like, hey, do you want to learn how to make money? And this, that, and the third. And she was like, and she just said, learn how to make money. That's all I heard. I ain't hear nothing else. And I was like, sure. And she was like, okay, we did like an on-the-spot interview. And like, I guess I got the job. And then when it started, like, when I started the internship, I realized that I was the only one that was, like, out of place. Mm-hmm. Like, for an example, everybody else that was there, they were, like, accounting majors, finance majors, econ majors. Or, like, they were there because it was an internship. So it was, like, they were there because they were already in that direction. So, like, when I got to the internship, I learned about, like, I learned a lot of different things. Like, I learned the difference between being, like, rich and wealthy, the difference between, like, banks and credit unions. I learned, like, the four C's of credit. Like, you know, and then, like, after that summer, I was like, oh, I don't want to be an obstetrician no more. Like, yeah. I don't want to do that. Like, I was like, because I didn't want to go to medical school. So it was like, I was really confused on what I wanted to do, honestly. I was just like, I don't want to do that anymore. So I'm going to go back to school and change my major to finance.
So I'm going to put a pin in it right there because we're going to take a break and come right back.
All right, so we're back from our break, and we're going to go ahead and jump straight back into the conversation. So you were telling us you wanted to, well, you knew the point when you were going to change your major because a new passion was born, period.
Yeah, so I was like, I went back to college. I was like, oh, I'm finna change my major to finance. Mind you, while I was a bio major, well, I changed my major like three times. I did bio, then I did criminal justice. So I was like, I did bio, and then I did criminal justice because, like, I needed a placeholder. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was just like, oh, criminal justice is easy.
I did criminal
justice. No offense to, like, people who did it, but, like, to me, criminal justice was easy. It was a lot of common sense. Like, the questions they asked, it was common sense. So I was like, okay, I can do criminal justice. My GPA will stay high. Like, I needed something that I knew that would keep my grades up. And then I was like, I'm going to change my major to finance. And when I changed my major to finance, I felt like that's what I was supposed to do. My classes was interesting. I was learning about, like, taxes. Like, you know, the typical stuff that you will learn in finance. Well, I'm not sure if you guys know, but the typical stuff you will learn. And it just felt like it was more what I wanted to do. And then when I changed my major to finance, I knew I wanted to be a financial analyst. And I was like, okay, like, when I graduate, I'm going to be a financial analyst. And it's like, now I'm a financial analyst, but I know I want to get into FP&A, which is financial planning analysis, because I feel like I like budgeting. Like, that's what I like to do.
Helping.
Like,
helping my others budget?
Huh?
Helping others budget as well?
I mean, well, right now for my company, like, I have to budget for, like, the fiscal year. So it's like, you know, the fiscal year, it starts, well, it ends in June and starts in July. Like, you know how the year starts in January? Yeah. I was just in the middle of the year. So it's like, I had to do budgets, because I work for a nonprofit organization, and it's like, okay, I had to do budgets for that company. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we got grants. So it was like, we had like a grant where I had to do like a $4 million budget, just allocate the budgets to like different areas. So it was like, I was like, okay, well, before I started working for that job, I realized that's what I wanted to do. Like, I was like, I like financial planning and budgeting. Like, I like doing that. So yeah, after I changed my major, it was probably the best thing that I could have done, because I feel like after college, a lot of people think like, oh, you go to college, you get a degree, you get a job.
Yeah.
Yes, but you have to still keep learning. You have to still keep teaching yourself. The learning does not stop there, but it doesn't stop at graduating college. Because even with me in my career, I still feel like I feel so behind simply because I didn't start working when I graduated. You know what I mean? Had I started working when I graduated, I probably would be doing exactly what I wanted to do, exactly what I want to be doing. But it's like, because I didn't do that, I'm patient. Like, I don't beat myself up about it too much. Like, oh, if I'd done this, because like the what's that word? I forgot the word. Sorry, I'm having a brain fart. But the path that I did take when I graduated, that benefited me a lot. Like, what I did and how much money I saw at that time, I wouldn't have saw that when I first got my first finance job. Right. I wouldn't have saw that. Like, it just, so it was like, you know, now I'm like, okay, I'm trying to get into my career. I got to do a lot of studying. I got to play a lot of catch up. I'm trying to get some certifications. Like,
oh yeah, keeping that
so
up.
It's just like, it's just a lot, honestly. Yeah. Like, it's really a lot. But it's like, I trust the process and I give myself grace, because honestly, it's easier to quit than to keep going.
Yeah.
So it's like, I keep telling myself, I just try to appreciate where I am. Cause it's like, I'm actually in one of my prayers now. Like, you know, I pray to like get into my career and start working and like start doing certain things, start learning. But it's like, so it's like, I give myself grace. I'm like, you know, it's cool. I might not be where I want to be. I might not be making what I want to be making in my career, but it's like, for where I am, it's like, I'm doing very well compared to like a lot of other people, not even trying to compare myself to people, but you know, just looking on the outside.
And somebody, okay, since we're on the topic of finances, so somebody who was listening, because I think in this season of my life, I'm so big on healing my money mindset. Mm-hmm. What advice would you have for somebody who is in that same process? Like, what type of money mindset do you feel like you need to have in order for you to see financial growth?
That's a great question. First thing, pay yourself first. Okay. Like, I learned that from my internship. And by pay yourself first, I don't mean, like, pay your bills. No. I don't mean pay your bills. I'm saying, like, allocate money outside of your bills and your savings to yourself.
Okay.
Like, I would say, like, it could be your savings. Like, pay yourself first. Like,
just pay yourself
after you
first.
Pay your bills and all that. Not even after you pay your bills, before you pay your bills. Like, for me, when I get paid, the first thing I do is put some money in my savings.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. So I would say pay yourself first. Live below your means.
Yeah.
Live below your means. A lot of people don't do that.
No.
A lot of people will start making a lot of money and then accrue that much debt. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like you're making $160,000 and everything is financed and you're in debt. And it's like when you get paid, you're paying all that back. So it's like you're making $160,000 a year, but
like
you're not seeing that $160,000 because you got so much debt. Mm-hmm. Live below your means.
Do you feel like social media makes it harder for you to? Because I feel like a lot of people aren't content.
So I feel like, yes, social media makes it harder, but it depends on the type of person you are. I don't get on, like, for me, social media don't make me feel like I need to do anything but go harder. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't see stuff on social media like, oh, I need to buy this. I need to buy that. Like, don't get me wrong. I buy things. I buy nice stuff when I want to. Like, if I want to spend a good amount of money on something, I will. But if you can't, for me, I know the motto is if you can't buy it 2 times, don't buy it. If you can't buy it 3 times, don't buy it. Mm-hmm. Live below your means. I think it was another one I was trying to say. I forgot it. Yeah, I forgot.
So this was good, though.
Yeah, I would say pay yourself first. Live below your means. And, oh, know your debt to income ratio. A lot of people do not know that. A lot of people don't know how much money they're spending and how much money is coming in. Like, it's like, you know how much money you're making, but you don't know how much money you're spending. You need to know what your debt to income ratio is. Like, you need to know, okay, if I'm bringing in $3,000 this paycheck and I spent $2,700, I got $300 left to allocate to what? Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like you need to know that. I feel like a lot of people need to pay attention to what a lot of their money go to and the habits, like what spending habits you have. Like, are you for an example, for me, I like to shop. I like buying clothes, but I feel like for the past year, I stopped because I have a problem with, like, when I would go shopping, I'm the type of person, like, I'll buy something and I'll, like, have a cart with, like, 30 items and I buy all 30. Like, you know how some people, they shop, they buy, like, 5-6 things. No, me, I buy, like, 30. Because I'm like, oh, I'm buying stuff online, okay. I buy 30 items and it's, like, them 30 items, I don't wear that stuff. And then I do another 30 items. So now I try to only buy what I know I'm going to wear.
Okay.
So I would say know what your spending habits is. Like, some people have their habits where they spend their money. Like, know where you putting your money.
Know where your money's going.
Like, know where it's going.
And you need a plan for your money. Because one thing I've realized is if you don't make a plan for your money will make plans for you. Yeah. And that's where it comes to not knowing.
That's why you have to budget. Like, and a lot of people don't think it's necessary to do so, but you really have to allocate where all your money is going.
Every dime should have a purpose.
Literally, every single penny, like, you should know where it's going. Like, for me, like, I know how much money I spend monthly on bills, how much I spend on entertainment, and how much I spend on fun. Like, I allocate money for fun.
Yeah.
Fun money.
You need to.
I'd be like, fun money. Okay, this is how much fun money I'm going to have this month.
And then discipline to stay in it.
I don't overspend. I'm not like, I'm very frugal.
Really?
I'm very
frugal. I would never think that.
Yes, I'm a very frugal person. Like, I'm not somebody who gonna be like, oh, I'm finna just buy this. No.
See, I would buy. I'm tight in some areas, like shoes. Do it. Let's do it. Let's have a party. Clothes. Let's instead of 30, let's do 15. And if it's over, if like one pair of anything is over a certain amount, we're gonna leave that in the cart. but if it's one pair of shoes that costs $400, $500. That's a good deal.
So that's how I am too. Like, but I'm like that with everything though. Like, okay, it's certain prices I'm not paying for. I'm sorry. Like, of course, as I'm getting older, I want to invest in like more quality pieces.
Yes.
And more quality items. But it's some numbers I'm just not paying for. Like, of course, when I want me a nice little bag, I'm gonna buy my bag. Like, you know, and for an example, like even when I bought my first little designer like tote, I wanted that tote for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wanted it for a long time.
Exactly.
When I finally spent the $1,900 to buy it, I felt good.
Ooh.
You know, I was like, okay, I got my little
and
bag.
And I see, I do that. I like,
yeah,
I
got my little bag and it didn't feel, it didn't, and that's another
exactly.
thing.
Exactly.
When you buy, I feel like a lot of people buy designer and they be putting a dent in their pockets.
Yeah.
Like you buying this real expensive thing, now you got a dent in your pockets. Now you're like, oh, I got waste, I get paid. Oh, I don't got this, I can't do that.
Exactly.
I can't do that. No, like. You can't,
like, any designer I buy, as I watch the money go, I like to look back and say, oh, the money's still there.
Yeah.
It makes you, for me, I don't know, my mind is always wrapped around, I don't like to go, like, it got to make sense. It's not about the price. It's about the quality. Mm-hmm. I don't see the purpose in buying something just because it's cheap, but it ain't going to last me for a long time. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we talk about iPhone charges. My mother like, well, we can get it from Five Below. But then you're going to keep paying
$5. $5 for the
over,
you can just
over,
buy the
over,
iPhone charger.
You just buy a $30 charger. What is the $30 going
to do? I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I refuse to use a Five Below charger on
it
my
just
got to
make sense.
The money messes up your battery.
Sense.
Yeah, I was just about to say that.
It messes up your battery. And then another thing, I noticed is because I feel like last year I was on a spree of just like buying expensive things because it's like I don't buy expensive stuff. Like I said, I'm very frugal and it's like I bought a couple handbags and stuff like that. And I was just like, yeah, buying designer is lame because like the stuff is seasonal.
Yeah.
Like it's like unless you're buying a classic, you know, you buy a classic, you good. But it's like I got a few bags and I don't even wear them bags no more. Like I'd be like, I still be
the novelty after you buy it. It's gone. It's
like,
completely gone.
Now, so this year I ain't bought nothing. I haven't bought. Yeah, I didn't buy. Oh my God, I didn't buy no designer item this year for myself.
That's
like
cool.
I didn't buy not one.
She
thing.
Said for myself.
Yeah, right? For myself. I didn't buy nothing this year. I'll probably buy me like a little bag for my birthday. But I didn't buy nothing because like last year I was doing all my buying and I was just like.
The only
designer stuff that I feel like I wear consistently is like designer shoes I bought, like sneakers or like boots. But like everything else, I don't be wearing them bags.
Yeah. A really good financial piece that I had today on this money mindset or mastery call that I was on this morning. He says a lot of people want to start talking to me because he's a financial advisor and he's actually great. Like he went down what he does and he was so humble about it. But, oh, he's up there. And he was like,
you
got
to see
people,
me him. I need to see that.
I can send it to him, send it to you. It was this girl, I post her all the time. She's like a therapist now, speaker, and she works alongside him. But basically what he was saying is a lot of people will come to me and be like, I want to start investing my money and da-da-da. And he was like, well, first of all, before we start talking about investment, we need to talk about your debt. Mm-hmm. Because before you can invest, you need to start paying off your debt.
Exactly.
And I think that that was so important because going back to childhood and keeping it on brand with like this series of what happened to you, I grew up around people who were very much in debt. And so now even it's so easy. We got what Apple Pay. We got Carlana. We got, what's another little pay me back service?
Affirm.
So
What's the green one?
Afterpay.
There we go. That's what I was thinking. So you have all of these things, but it goes back to how you said, you're financing everything, so every time you get paid, you're constantly paying off. Because if I got this coming out on this check, this coming out there, but what's your debt ratio? He said, before now it really got me. He said, even saving, why are you saving when you in a bunch of debt?
Right.
And so I was like, dang. Because every time I get paid, I'm the same way. All right, I know I want to tithe this, and I also have a thing where I give to this organization. And then I go straight to my savings account. But I'm like, Chris, you need to pay them credit cards off. But it's like, I don't want to give it to the credit cards. But I'm like, no, that is
no,
important.
You got to pay them credit
you
cards
You got to pay them credit cards
like,
off.
I feel like credit card debt, like I actually this year, I just started like being like a credit only girly. So it's like I'll use my credit card for majority of the things that I want to do.
You buy.
And then I just pay it back. Because it's just like you get a lot of points. And it's like, you know, the points that be coming on, depending on what kind of credit card you have and, you know, what things you're into. I think it's smarter, you know, putting all the stuff on the credit, like you just pay it back. Because it's like.
That's smart.
Before, a lot of people are scared of credit cards. They'd be like, oh, I don't want to be in debt. I don't want to do that. Yeah, because like you're using your credit card and you're not paying the money back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
exactly.
Of course, you're scared about being in debt. Of course, you're like, oh, I don't want to. Use a credit. I'm like, I remember one person, I don't remember who said it, but somebody told me they were like scared of credit cards. And I was just like, why? Why are you scared of it? Like, why are you scared of a credit card? Like, you're in control of the credit card. It's up to you how it goes. So it was like, I feel like for the points, the credit card, you know, just using my credit card for everything. It kind of makes me feel a little grown, you know. Mm-hmm. Throwing your little, like, okay, here my Amex card, you know, just throwing your little card.
What I learned about credit cards, like, when I was younger, is that, like, you don't spend money that you don't have.
Exactly.
Like, if you are going to buy the shoes anyway, just swipe your card and then use that same money that you was going to buy the shoes with on your regular card and pay it back from there. Like,
literally.
Don't just.
That's the smartest way to do it.
That's literally what I did.
That's what I was doing, but somewhere along the way, it got a little. And next thing you know,
that's literally what I did.
Journey and grace.
Like, I order something, I order it on my credit card, and then I literally, like, you know, it takes like a day for it to like process and stuff like that. I put the money right back on there. Like, that's what I do now. Like, I just be like, okay, I just ordered this. Let me put the money back.
Yeah,
because it's just like. You're going to spend the money on your regular debit card anyway. So it's like, why not get the points from it? You know what I mean? You get points from using your credit card. But I feel like a lot of people are afraid of credit cards because they don't have good money management. Like, you know, some people feel like, oh, I use my credit card and then don't pay it back. Mm-hmm. So now you done accrue $4,000 in credit card debt and you're confused on why you can't pay back.
And why your credit score
And it's like, I'm very big on credit, especially because I work in finance. Like, some jobs will... Thankfully, none of my jobs I've worked for like needed my credit. But some jobs, actually, you have to have a certain credit score to work for the firm.
Because it's just like, teach about it.
Yeah, you capping. Like, you know what I mean? You capping because it's like your credit score is not even high. So how do you even know what you're talking about?
See, my problem is food. I'm gonna eat and
good.
Whenever I'm gonna get the big one, the large, and that's the problem. Like, I need to. Be more intentional about spending money. I mean, going to the grocery store and, like, buying food at the store and cooking at home because, literally, like I said, I'm not sparing no change. If I want a crab boil on Tuesday, that's what I'm going to go get. And if I want Chick-fil-A right after that.
I'm the same with food, too.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
I think I need a food budget.
Me, too.
Personally, because
I'm doing this every day, though. Like, $20, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's $60 a day.
I just recently started, like, meal prepping because I'm trying to, like, start working. Well, I started working out, but I'm trying to be consistent. Mm-hmm. Like, because I want the gym to be, like, a lifestyle, not
I've been falling in love with the gym,
I've been, like, meal prepping, and, you know, I probably spend about $60, maybe $70
from the meal prepping.
My meal prep.
My issue
that food
with meal
lasts
prepping
me about 5 days.
My issue with meal prepping is I don't want what I made on Monday on Wednesday.
That's my literally my issue. I'm not a leftover type of person. No. I can only eat leftovers one time. So when I do meal prep, I prep like 3 things.
Okay.
Because I'm not eating that again. I'm sorry. Like, I'm not. But I've been eating the same thing for breakfast for the past month. It's not crazy. Like, it don't feel repetitive. Like,
breakfast, but it's only so much you can do with breakfast. I love breakfast foods.
I'm a ham. But I eat the same thing for breakfast.
Potatoes, eggs, and me.
So I'm eating a little healthy breakfast. I eat oatmeal, wheat toast, egg whites, pieces of bacon.
That's so great.
So I've been eating that for like a month, literally.
I'm heavy.
You know, you add the little berries and strawberries into your oatmeal, and, you know, make it fun. Add some honey. That's what I've been eating for the past month.
So mature of you.
Thank you.
Very mature. I'm trying to get my taste buds.
And it only takes 3 seconds to make it.
I'm trying to get there.
I just don't want that. Like, I want pancakes.
I want some potatoes, some eggs, like, some pancakes on the side.
I don't like pancakes. I'm not a pancake fan. Not a French toast girly.
Alexis dropped her face. She said, no pancakes.
Yeah, pancakes is crazy. I mean,
I'm not a waffle person.
Waffles and pancakes are kind of the same thing, but I feel like my issue with pancakes is like, why is it so flat? Like, I just
With waffles,
it just don't got no
so
definition.
Fluffy?
What's wrong with y'all?
It just don't got no definition. Like, I just feel like pancakes just don't be.
I like it all.
But I'll eat if somebody makes some pancakes, I'll eat them. And I also feel like I'm not good at making pancakes. That's probably why I don't like it.
That makes sense. Me and pancakes, me and breakfast food got a great.
I love breakfast.
I will eat breakfast
food
for dinner. Breakfast
me too.
For
that's why I love when I telework because I get to finally go downstairs and actually make me some breakfast.
Yeah, I love breakfast food. That's like my favorite breakfast food. I love me some French toast with the thick bread.
Well, this was a good episode, y'all. We are going to close it out here. I want to go ahead and say thank you for joining us. And then I want to say thank you to our viewers for one. Y'all are so loyal. Thank you guys for tuning in every time. Thank you for the love that you guys send.
us each and every week. It's definitely appreciated and does not go unnoticed. Mm-hmm. And so make sure you follow the podcast at, this is your part.
Follow the podcast at SavedNSuch. Save and such.
Boom. And we will see you guys next week.
See y'all.
Bye.